is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center. Zaporizhia. The news comes from Moscow that it is no longer a special military operation. A state of war exists between Russia and Ukraine. In these last hours, we learn a barrage of missiles striking at the electric grid of Ukraine. Darkness visible. A hydroelectric plant on the Dnieper is hit. So is the one source into Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power complex in all of Europe, without power. Henry, a very good evening to you. We've been through Zaporizhia's risks before, and now the latest power outage was repaired, but it remains in a battlefield, also hitting the electric energy grid in a state of war. Is it acceptable? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. Again, it's always great to be able to talk with you about these things. Well, you raise a question the International Criminal Court has put out warrants on with regard to attacks that were made by the Russian Navy, essentially, some time ago against the grid. And the argument that the criminal court warrants make is that this is a violation of the Treaty of Rome, which says you should not strike civilian objects. Well, clearly, the grid in their mind is open to being described as a civilian object. The Russians, of course, say, oh, no, it's part of their mobilization base for war. Well, they're going to go litigate that for what it's worth. I mean, I don't think anyone's getting arrested or punished or thrown in jail, but it's a little bit more than a mock trial. Now, we have not, as a country, the United States, weighed in on that, nor have we weighed in on this latest outrage, because I think it is outrageous. The hydroelectric plant that you mentioned was one that was supplying electricity to keep Zaporizhia safe. And, you know, I, of course, have shown my prejudice or my opinion by saying it's outrageous. Of course, these are civil objects. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but shouldn't our government take a position on this? They haven't. Not a good look. They should at least speak up.
Nuclear power, NuScale power stock tumbled 33%. The explanation from Wall Street is Wells Fargo took up a closer look, downgraded NuScale because it's running out of cash. What does NuScale do, Henry?
NuScale is a firm that has got a design for a small modular reactor, light water. It's a very clever design, and they tried to market it by getting municipalities in Utah primarily to buy shares of a future construction in Idaho of a plant that would supply electricity to Utah municipalities. They kept funding it until they had to make a decision of whether to continue or get their money, stop spending on it, essentially. And they made a decision not to continue to fund it. That caused an enormous drop in the stock of NuScale. But this latest evaluation by Wells Fargo did additional damage. Because what happened is the stock fell after Utah pulled out. Municipalities pulled out, and then it started to build again because they said, well, we have other prospects. Wells Fargo took a sharp look at that increase. I think it went up to, it went down to almost less than $3 per share, and then it went up again. And they said, look, you only have so much cash, and you have no revenues coming in. You're going to run out of money. Now, the significance of this is the most advanced design, that is to say, most mature design that we have in the small modular reactor bin, if you will. And if this program doesn't do well, it casts a shadow on all the other proposals. More important, the model that NuScale has is one in which you try to raise money from customers, prospective customers. The other way to go is just to go to the Department of Energy and say, give me money. Something tells me that the fate of NuScale is opening the door to giving up on the market. the market looks at these advanced small modular reactors and said, too expensive, won't get your money back, we're not interested. So what do? You say, well, the government should just print money for us and we'll spend their money instead of the customer's perspective or any private investor.
Let's go to Australia. There's a debate in Australia now about moving from coal power. They have really good coal. China buys as much as they can get their hands on. They have a lot of natural gas as well, but they're moving to nuclear. Can they afford it?
Well, they're not moving to nuclear. They're debating. And the debate is fascinating. It's a culture war, kind of a shadow of the culture war in the States. If you don't like nuclear power and you wear Birkenstocks and you have a tie-dye and you're an environmentalist, I am a conservative and therefore I don't like you and I love nuclear power if you hate it. Well, they're trying to replicate that culture war in a way in Australia because it is the new rallying call of the Liberal Party, which is a little hard to understand, but those are the conservatives, as you will, in Australia, who are out of power. And they're saying, well, the Labor Party, which is the sort of leftward-leaning party in Australia, won't lift the ban on nuclear power being considered, and we think it's the answer. Now, I think they've got the Liberals have a point. Maybe they should lift the ban on considering nuclear power. But of course, what's odd is the conservatives are so enthusiastic about nuclear power, they want the government to more or less pay for it. And of course, they don't quite say that, but that is exactly where they're headed. Meanwhile, all of this natural gas, which could be a bridge to figuring out how to sort out the grid, which is based on a very old system of baseload generation, and to have renewables come in and fill gaps. They're not using it. They're exporting it all, mostly to places like India and China. That is peculiar. So no one wants to talk about that because the environmental movement is too pure to bother with gas. And oddly enough, the Liberals are not interested in either because, well, the interests that run the natural gas system and export it, want to keep exporting it. They don't want to build infrastructure to bring it to cities in Australia if they don't have to. It's a very peculiar situation. And I think, again, it highlights how something that currently isn't even available. I mean, there are no – NuScale hasn't even built anything, and it's the furthest along. Everyone's talking about these new reactors as if they actually exist and that they're approved and licensed for export and domestic use. We're not there yet. And what the big debate is, who should pay for it? I think we get a window again on nuclear energy's future by the debate in Australia. It's worth monitoring.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. The government pays for it, a.k.a. the people. I'm John Batchelor.